have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Not be ashamed to ask the good Lord to walk us up in every situation, whatever you may be going through. Don't be ashamed to ask the good Lord to walk with you.
Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me.
Well, it's Tuesday. midnight, 10:30 p.m., it must be time for The Voice. And you have tuned in on tonight. Thank God for you, and
Richard, I didn't want to say something. Well, you know, Sean, I was listening at that, what they called it. I was listening at that song that was playing, that introduction, whatever they called it, where, you know. I was listening at that thing, and it made me think about old Sister Jones years ago. Sister Jones used to come to Bible study every week, and it depends on if anybody had anything they wanted to say. Sister Jones never had nothing to say, but she jumped up and sang, "Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. We got tired of this. We got tired of Sister Jones and her walk with me." And just finally, we didn't hear her voice no more. And somebody happened to be coming in the church and said, "Guess what, y'all? I just saw Sister Jones right by the church." See, the Lord had done blessed her with a new car. She forgot how to drive the church. But she wanted the Lord to walk with her while she was walking. Ain't that something? People want God to walk with them, but they don't want the Lord to ride with them. Oh, Lord. But you know what happened? That car got repossessed. Lord Jesus, you ain't heard nothing now. But that car got repossessed. And lo and behold, about 3 months later in the Bible study, Pastor said, "Everybody got anything to say?" All of a sudden we heard, "Walk with me, Lord, walk with me." I was so glad I was there that night, because Pastor told her, "Hold up. You told the Lord to walk with you months ago. And the Lord walked with you and walked you down to the automobile place, gave you a car, and you couldn't even drive him to church." He said, "Well, he can't ride with you. We're not going to have him walk with you. Now you can be seated. We get ready to go tonight." Lord have mercy. The moral of the story is, it's time for The Voice. You thought I was going to get you the ears, didn't you? Well, praise God tonight. Praise God. This is your host, Apostle Vincent L. Smith. And we are on the line to discuss the Word of God as it comes up out of our spirit. None of us claim to be professors and doctors, and none of us claim to be teachers at Harvard, Yale, Princeton, none of those places, but the Holy Ghost resides on the inside, and he speaks through us on these nights. And if you are here, you're getting ready to be blessed by good discussion, good wisdom, good understanding. But before we do that, let's check and see who's with us tonight. See who's ready to rock and roll and get the party started. Well, I know one person is here. She was the one put that Walk With Me song on. That's my dear friend, Kimmy Kim, the producer. Kimmy Kim, come on, say hi to the people.
Hi, people. I'm just kidding. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. You guys were talking on Saturday. Oh, my goodness, I miss a good discussion. I'm so mad. How come y'all act up when I'm gone? I'm like, really? Yeah, I was acting up on Saturday. So now I'm on The Voice. Yay. Let's do it.
All right. Well, let's go all the way down to Augusta Town and see where that peach-picking preacher is. Amen. The Apostle Urban A. Whitlow, Jr. Are you with us tonight, man?
Well, we praise the name of the Lord, our God, Almighty, who is always a mighty long way. My name is Bishop Tutudu, and we are here to enjoy Jesus with you. And I know that you're looking for the apostle, but the apostle is not available, so he sent me Bishop Tutudu. All right? Praise the name of Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, have mercy. Have mercy, have mercy. Well, let's go up there in that old cigarette town up on Marlboro Melvin, and let's see if we can get, amen, that Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr., and let's see if he's around there wrapping tobacco, or is he ready to rap?
I have no clue when they started doing tobacco in Upper Marlboro. All I see here is cows, horses, chickens.
Y'all got the name from them. Don't try to be funny. Y'all got the name from them. And
no.
Y'all wanted to be Marlboro, but they had that already.
There is a Marlboro. But we are Upper Marlboro. We are the more expensive folk. We're the uppity folk. So,
Whitlow, I'm going to tell you, you know why they're Upper Marlboro? They're the ones
why?
That when they got the king-size cigarette, they decided to put Upper on their name.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, you know
you
what?
You taught me something.
Well, he taught me something, too, because I knew nothing about that. All these little 8 years I've spent here, but to God be the glory. We thank the Lord for this opportunity and this chance. And I should go back on my lunch break, but I'll excuse all those comments for now. No, I'm joking. Anyway, I'm just happy to be here. Have a great day.
All right. I don't know, but I'll check up in Atlanta. Amen. By way. College Park, by way of Hartford, Connecticut, by way, amen, of Tallahassee, Florida, by way of Jesus Christ. Is there an Apostle Felicia Flight on the phone tonight?
I heard y'all was looking for me. Here I go.
Here you is. Now, I think, if he remembers, I think I got a surprise for Bishop-elect Richard tonight. Amen.
We'll find out.
Let me come to New Haven, Connecticut, and see if my good brother remembers to call in, or did he fall asleep on me. Amen. Pastor Roger Wilkins, are you on here tonight?
Oh, get out of Dodge.
He told me he was going to call. I ain't heard nothing. My.
Wow, I ain't heard from him in a dog's age.
Well, he's got the number. He might wake up in the middle of the conversation and call him. But all right. All right, he's not here right now. Okay. Let us have our prayer tonight from Apostle Whitlow. And we're going to give Flight our scripture, and she's going to read that. Amen.
Our Father and our God, Lord, we love you on tonight, and we bless you for being so good to us. You are the Ancient of Days and our Rock of Ages. Father, we hide in you tonight, for there is safety in your name. As we come tonight, Lord, to share on this podcast, The Voice, we pray that you would be here with us, give us what to say, that those who are listening will receive answers and instructions and direction. I pray that they will be established in your word tonight. Oh, God, use your manservant and these who are on this panel, oh, God, to be a blessing to someone who is listening. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody give her our scripture text. And then if you remember where it's at, let's give her our scripture text so we can hear the word of God.
It's John what?
Nope, nobody remembers the scripture.
Yeah, I think we're going to Luke.
Luke.
Yep.
16 through 20. Yeah, I believe that's it.
Okay, repeat that for me one more time, please.
Starting with verse 16, you go down to about 20. Actually, yeah.
Lord,
verse 20,
Jesus,
that'll be.
Y'all know I can't see at night.
Ooh,
I can't see at night.
Now.
Oh, Jesus. It's a good thing you ain't dropped.
Luke 12. Yeah, I'm driving. Luke 16, excuse me, Luke 12 and 16. All right, Rich. Then he told them this story. The farmer of a rich man produced a terrific crop. He talked to himself, what can I do? Wait a minute, you said Luke 12 and 16?
Yes.
That's it.
Go to the Amplified version. Oh, please. All right. Luke 12 and 16. Then he told them a parable saying, there was a rich man whose land was very fertile and productive. And he began thinking to himself, what shall I do since I have no place large enough in which to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my storehouses and build larger ones, and I will store my grain and my goods there. 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many good things stored up, enough for many years. Rest and relax. Drink and be merry. Celebrate continually. Verse 20 says, but God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own all the things you have prepared? Verse 22, and it reads, so it is for the one who continues to store up and hoard possessions for himself and is not rich in his relationship towards God. 22. Jesus said to his disciples, for this reason I tell you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat or about your body as to what you will wear. And that's verse 22. May the Lord
thank
add a blessing to the hearers, doers, and believers of this word. Amen.
Thanks be to God for the word of God. Thank you for the reader, and we shall... You know what I heard? I want somebody to count up how many times he said I.
I think I heard six, five or six.
Anybody else got the count? I heard five or six. Do we agree or not agree?
Four, five. Five times. I've counted five.
Okay, we got another five. All right. Yes, it's Felicia, either you're the tiebreaker or the one that makes it happen.
Seven.
Oh, she said seven. She done went past both of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got to go to Kimmy Kim. Now, Kim, you either going to tell us the truth, are you going to say that these two men
are right with number five. We got five, we got six, we got seven. How many times did he say I?
How many times he said, please repeat the question, I do apologize.
How many times in this scripture does he say the word I?
Bless the Lord.
Is that what we're talking about?
No, the scripture from 2 weeks ago. No.
Okay. He says it three times.
I got five, six, and seven, and you said three? Let me see now.
I'm guessing. Sorry.
Somebody, I think in this class tonight, you're going to get a goofy.
Can we get a curve, please? I didn't get the scripture. It's been a minute, so, you know.
All right, Blythe, let's read again, and let's see how.
All right, hold on, because it was actually six because I read it from the Amplified version. But hold on. Hold, please.
Okay, oh, that's so, why she read it from the Amplified
version. I said I was reading from the Amplified version, but let me go to King James. Let us King James. I tell you what, let me go to King James. I didn't ask you for that. Lord of Luke 12:10-22. And, all right, Kim, I need your help now. You got to count the eyes for me. Okay. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Then he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Shall those things be which thou hast provided? 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for thy body, what ye shall put on. I said seven.
But that last no, I don't shit. Count that for Jesus talking to his disciples.
You didn't say
right.
that, though. You didn't say that.
I said six.
How many times did the man say I?
Six times.
It was six.
Six times.
And God
so
said
I. Said six? Elect Richard said six. So we're going to give him a penny each for paying attention.
Yeah,
I was just off by three. Well, I said seven,
Kim,
I was right.
Kim, I want you to start reading the Bible for you. You're going to be all right.
I got to go to bed.
Well,
I'm not
I have help
tonight,
now,
so.
So I'm not the only female. So I have my sister now, so she got my back, too. Uh-huh.
Hello.
Yeah.
Again, I said seven.
Well, you're right. Now I said but six of them belong to the man.
Okay.
And then
well, he got
one,
two eyes and he was looking through.
Yeah. But here's what I'm looking at in that text. Is the fact six times does not acknowledge talking about building bigger barns so he can store up everything. Now, notice that, too, now, in that amplified version, is that he has so much that he couldn't put everything in the barns he had. So I'm going to build bigger so I can put everything in there, and I got enough to live for a long time. I got to ask y'all a question now. I know it's simple, but somebody needs to hear it. Who gave him everything he had?
God did.
God gave him everything.
God gave him everything. And how good was God? What did he give him?
Eating abundantly above all that he could ask or think.
That's the best way to put it. I'm going to have to put another penny with your first penny. But, I mean, that's the good, best way to put it. He gave him more than he could ask or think. But now, according to the word, he blesses what?
Himself?
No, he blessed him.
The Lord blessed
him. Huh?
You said, according to the word, he blesses what? That would be the just and the unjust.
No. I'm talking about the man. What did God bless for? It's all lined up there in the text.
The land.
He blessed his land. What else did he do? He blessed his food. What else? Well, Rich, you said it, but now you're not saying it again.
Oh no! I mean, I when I said he blessed, God blessed him exceeding abundantly above all he could ask or think. Of course, he blessed his land, he blessed his crop. He even allowed him to increase the barns or the house of storage that he was using. And see,
okay,
if
I'm gonna take that, one. But there was something you said when I first asked the question. That is very important. It ain't coming back, Julia.
You know what? I mean, I'll be honest with you right now. I ain't going to say the spirit left. I'm just trying to think, where, what is it that I just said? Because when I did exceeding abundantly above what I could ask or think, I do believe I covered everything.
Well,
I'm trying to see, did I put anything else out there?
I'm just going to put it like this. Before he blessed everything else, he had blessed him because he gave him life, health, strength. I mean, he was able to get out there and till the ground, put the seed in, cultivate the ground, all that.
Okay,
and
so we could turn around. I was going to say, we could turn around and say God gave him the health to get wealth. I mean, we could throw that in there.
Foster Whitlow, flight. Kim, somebody, is that not the same attitude of some folk today? The Lord bless.
Absolutely.
And don't give him not 1 ounce of credit.
Oh, wow. That's that,
yes,
pride.
I do.
But I do see it.
All the time. Get to work safe and sound. We turn around and we cry and complain while in traffic. You know?
And you know what, though? Here's what's funny. God has given some of the saints of this hour such good paying jobs. They done moved up in the tax bracket. They drive and stuff. Our forefathers could have never even thought to drive. They got so many clothes in the closet, they can't even stick their hand in there to get nothing out. They got to back this stuff up and then go through it to see what they can wear or what they were looking for to wear. But Tanya. Somebody tell me what's wrong here.
Selfishness as opposed to selflessness.
Do you realize that some people do you realize that some people still believe that the earth continues without them thanking God? Like, they just get up and just hear what I'm saying. They get up every morning with the same routine. Don't say, God, I thank you for it, not realizing that they're causing damage to themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I look at the fact that we have to be mindful and careful of how we move. Before your feet hit the ground, I mean, if you get up, wash your face, brush your teeth, and you begin to pray, that's fine. Because I pray before I get up. I pray when I get in my car. I think the people that be beside me think I'm going crazy, because that's just how I pray, to make sure that I'm covering every area as I'm traveling. You know, just because you travel the same road every day does not mean that anything can't happen. So in all things, we give thanks. In all things, in small things, we give thanks. Everything that we do, we give thanks.
I agree.
Stop praying and see what happens.
What did he say? In all things, do what?
Give thanks.
Well, this is the what?
Will of God.
Will of God.
This is the will of God.
Concerning you.
And when you don't give thanks, he will take it away.
I'm going to challenge that. I will challenge that. I will challenge.
You may not take it right away. Well, I mean, take it away. Let me rephrase that. See, what happens is when you start moving.
Don't take it back.
I'm going to challenge him. I know he's about to say something. But what I mean by that is the fact that, okay, he may not take it away, but you don't have that same feel. You start to have more worries and have more burdens and more problems when you
I agree with that.
And so you get more burdens if you don't give thanks. Of course Satan will give you those things as well, but it's not the same way. Satan taken away when you get young, when you get older, I mean, but God can bless you at all ages. That's the difference. Satan used you up until he can, you know, get enough. And when he sees that you're not benefiting him, he'll let you go. So that's what I meant. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. The only reason why I was going to challenge it is simply because of the fact that even when you look in this score, God didn't take anything from him. God blessed him. God multiplied him. God even allowed him to multiply on his own. God took nothing from him. He's the giver of good gifts. The man was taken away. So the gift that he had the opportunity to benefit from, he was not allowed to enjoy because his life ended. That's why I challenged that, the only reason.
Let's move this microscope in a little closer. If he took the man and the stuff belonged to the man, did he take the stuff?
No, he didn't. He took the man. The stuff was still there. Somebody else is enjoying it.
But that, well, okay, you just said it. So he also took the stuff. The man couldn't enjoy the stuff no more. He let somebody else get blessed.
Mm-hmm. What does that tell us? When you decide to walk in absolute disobedience, when you decide that it's about me, when you develop that same attitude that Lucifer himself had, now God can remove you from that blessing, and somebody else will enjoy the fruits of your labor. Ask the children of Israel, how many of those particular cities and those people who had all kinds of houses and land and things lost everything to the children of Israel. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. With all this stuff the Lord had blessed him with, what could he have done besides sit there and be selfish?
he could have been a blessing to someone else.
Sure
part
enough.
One, that's one. What's two?
He could have also considered maybe creating a charity foundation for those who were less fortunate than him. Certainly those things make a difference.
Okay, anybody got a three? What could he have done with all these goods?
He could have, besides thanking God, he could have gave it back. I mean, he had more than enough.
He definitely did.
Okay. Now I'm going to throw something at y'all. Y'all ready for something country?
Go ahead.
If he had that much stuff, he could have threw a community cookout.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, a cookout down south is different than a cookout in the north.
You got that right.
Mm-hmm.
In the north, they come out with little hot dogs and hamburgers and maybe some macaroni salad, maybe some potato salad and stuff. But you go down to a cookout down south, there's a pot of rice coming. There's some neck bones coming. There's some string beans. You know, the down south cookout just a little bit different. Now, he had all this stuff in his barn. He could have fed the community.
He definitely could have.
And said, I want you to share in my bountiful blessing from the Lord. See what happens? Do you see what happens? When selfishness sets in with us, we forget all the ministry things we could do.
True.
If he had so much, he couldn't get it in the barn that he had. And was getting ready to build bigger and larger barns so he could take in everything. Now, notice this, too. He had two barns and was getting ready to build two bigger barns. He didn't say, let me build a barn. He was getting ready to build two more bigger barns. That means he had so much that he had to decide on a design that was going to hold everything he had.
Mm.
Here's another funny thing about this text. How long did he plan for this stuff to stay fresh?
Not
if
sure.
He was building barns, going to keep it for himself for the rest of his life, how was he going to keep this stuff fresh? There wasn't no refrigeration back then. Y'all know fruits and vegetables don't last for so long. So how was he going to enjoy all this stuff that could run out possibly in a month?
Good question.
I guess I'm going to ask this question rather than talk like that. Does selfishness also make us mental?
Mental in what respect? I want to make sure I understand this before I answer.
That we forget mental. We forget what we can do. We forget everything is me, me, me.
I agree. It sure is. Well, here it is. I won't say that it's mental. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we could say that because it's funny. Do you ever notice how we get selective memory loss at times? We got nickels and dimes. God, if you'll just bless me, if you'll just pour out on me, I promise you I will pay my tithes. Give me a car. I promise you, like the story you gave earlier, I promise you I'll be to Bible study on time. I'll pick some people up, and I'll go out to areas I normally can't get to, and I'll witness. And so God does everything you ask, and you ain't thought about paying a tithe. You ain't thought about giving a ride. You ain't thought about doing anything you said you was going to do. Your memory just went blank on you all of a sudden. You forgot the provider of everything you own.
Okay. Anybody else got something to throw at that? There's no coins left for that one. It must have been a pretty good throw there, brother. Now,
well, I don't know.
Let's look at this. Let's look at one thing. Let's look at this fellow's statement. He already messing up. Six times he done talked about himself. God knows. But please, somebody talk about his statement. He gonna build bigger barns. He gonna eat, drink, and be merry. He gonna sit back for the rest of his life. He's just gonna enjoy himself. We could have included those two. He gonna enjoy himself. Somebody talk. What is enjoying yourself? Somebody please tell me.
When I think of enjoying myself, when I think of enjoying myself, I think about that which is pleasurable. I think about that which is fascinating and fun. Think about that which appeases me in some kind of way. So when I think about enjoying myself, I think about being on a vacation, not having no responsibilities, not needing to keep working or anything. Because when I'm thinking about enjoying myself, I'm thinking to myself that I'm going to have it forever. Unfortunately, that is not realistic thinking, but that was, I believe, his mindset at that time.
Okay.
Somebody else talk to me.
I mean, when I think of...
Come off that
when
dude, give me a gift, talk to us. Go ahead, Brother Red.
I was going to say, when I think about weight and use the word weight in and of itself, personally, I'm thinking about an anticipated time, stretch of time, I should say, or an anticipated period of time where I'm going to do something that I am just so looking forward to. I don't know whether it was a month I've been waiting, 2 months I've been waiting, a year I've been waiting, whenever the time was. All right, I'll give you a good example. I know Sister Richard and I are going to Aruba in a couple of weeks. I anticipate a great time. So I'm just anticipating the time when I get there. I'm going to have the greatest time of my life by the grace of Almighty God. And if I'm there and God sends somebody my way to witness, hey, let's just pray. Let's just have a great time. Because if I include God in my plans, the time just can't get no greater. But if I exclude God from my plans, well, you better hope Moby Dick don't swim by and get hungry. That's all I'm going to say on that.
Well, let me throw another log on here. And I want to say this. Out of the scriptures, did not it say that in the latter times, men would be lovers of themselves and not lovers of God?
Yep.
Anybody read that besides me and Rich?
And I saw it over there in
will you read that?
Over there.
Second Timothy, the third chapter.
You said Second Timothy or First Timothy?
Second Timothy, the third chapter.
All right. All right. So I don't know if Blake's still with us or not, but if God said that men would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and then we look at this text, for him to be blessed with all these goods, that has to be pleasurable. But then at the same time, as the scripture prophesies, he loved the stuff, but forgot God. So what is having a good time?
People that's dying that ain't never died before. Oh, Lord, I can't laugh.
I'm not listening to you right
now. When you don't recognize the God, these people die that ain't never died before. Y'all have to be for real. When I say that, I'm so serious. People are really dying that's never died before, and people don't understand why they're dying. Like, what? I mean, you keep living without God and see what happens. You think you're going, child, okay. You might as well go play with a shark.
Somebody all right?
Kim, you got that phone off of mute yet?
I am off mute, and wow, you guys are talking. When I think about weight, I'm going to be honest, waiting is very challenging for me. So I have come to realize that I take every waiting situation at a time because I used to want to be the one that wants to fix things. You know, I'm like a person that likes to fix things and try to do it myself, but God had taught me that if I don't wait, I make the problem much bigger. So when he also teaches me how to have patience, and people say, I wish I had more patience, but they don't understand when you have got more patience, you have to go through some things to create the patient stamina. And so waiting is trusting God. Waiting is what God wants you to do. But waiting also requires proactivity, but not doing in a way where you're trying to be God. So for instance, if you're looking for a job, you can't say I'm waiting for a job and don't fill out any applications, or I want to be well, but you don't want to work out or eat well, or I want to go to college, but you don't want to do the grades or apply for college or a network. It takes work. You could say you want to do these things, but whatever you put into the pot is what you're going to receive. So I really believe when the Bible says what you reap is what you sow, it's consistent. And so it's like that in the world, but I prefer it to be it with God, because sometimes, you know, procrastination can really play a part when you are waiting and God wants you to do proactivity. So waiting is a day-by-day process for me for each circumstances, because I can't say that I have mastered the...
Now you said something. You said something that I got to take a punch at. You said, I thought I heard it right now. Somebody stop me if I'm wrong, but I thought I heard her say something like, you can't, please don't pray for patience. Now, did I hear her right?
You heard me.
She said, please don't pray for patience.
If you don't know what you're getting into.
Now, wait a minute now, because I'm going to help them real clear tonight what they're digging into. What does the scripture say patience does? If you ask for it, what does it say it does?
You want to have more problems, more, you know.
I ain't talking to you. Talking to you. You're the one who made the statement in the first place. Now you're trying to take over the show. No,
I love you.
Y'all don't forgot the scripture. The Bible clearly told us, for those of you that's asking for patience, I want y'all to listen to this very clearly, very carefully. It says, patience worketh tribulation.
Okay.
So if your eyes patience you're asking to go through. Do I need to say it again? If you are asking for patience, you are asking to go through. You are asking for trouble. You are asking for trials. You're asking for enemies. You're asking for setups. So keep praying for patience. The more stuff you're going to go through. Can anybody back that up for me? Talk to me, Whitlow.
You're telling the truth. Anytime you're asking for patience, what happens is that God designs a pathway that includes challenges that will teach you patience. There's something that a lot of people do not understand. We use this scripture, but we don't understand it. When we say, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above that we ask or think. Watch this. According to the power that worketh in us. So in other words, there is already something in the works in our life. Every time we tell God we want patience, God has to interrupt what is happening to implement a new course of things based upon what you prayed to get you to where you want to be. Listen, God hears you when you pray that. So, Lord, I want more patience. I don't want to be like this man. I want patience, and I want understanding, and I want this and that. God says, okay, let me stop what I was working on because I want to do exceeding abundantly above that you ask or think. I want to do so much more than what you could even verbalize or imagine. So he says, let me stop the work that is currently working and let me start a new course of action that will bring you into the thing you're asking for. And for some of us, and I'm not trying to take it to subject, but some of us never get to that place because we keep asking God to do something different. I'm done.
Rich, fight. Give it, Kim. Y'all got something you want to throw on that?
Well, he threw enough punches at me, so. Amen.
All right, I guess everybody is silent on that one. Now, here we go. He says, all this stuff. I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to eat. I'm going to drink. I'm going to be married. Now, that word Mary, M-E-R-R-Y. He wasn't talking about a woman. He said, M-E-R-R-Y. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. He said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to wine and dine and eat real fine, and I'm going to party. And how many people do we know think they got all the time, never mind in the world, they think they got all the time in the universe. They just living life vicariously. They're just living life foot loose and fancy free. They're living life, like the movie says, like they're untouchable. This man making plans how he gonna do for the rest of his days. I wonder tonight, truthfully, the Lord dropped $10 million on us. Bro, how many of us gonna be at church Sunday?
Well, I'm gonna be at church Sunday.
Me, because I'm gonna tell everybody I got it. Not for real, I'm just playing.
No, you, hey, listen, I ain't playing. You can sit there and say you just playing. I want y'all to know that a lottery ticket was mailed to me in excess of $10 million. It just so happened that the post office was at the local grocery store. And I was selected to be the postmaster. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, mm-hmm. I do want to make this announcement. All you that refuse to loan me a dollar, $10, $20, you need not come near me because you will not see a dime of this money. And all you little nappy head kids to say you mine, huh, I'm going to give you some investment money and I want my money back. Okay? Money will change you. Money will make you act funny.
Now, watch this. I want y'all to hear this story carefully. Now, with law and peace, y'all know what I'm talking about because y'all used to go to this place at one time. But the head of that church used to preach against the lotto heavy. He got on the lotto. He would ride it, hit the ground, through the ground. This is somebody else's crap. But they were trying to build a new sanctuary. $100,000 off the court. One of the men in that church hit the lotto for $10 million. Am I lying, bro? He hit it for $10 million. And brought that $100,000 tithe to the church. He had nothing to say about love. You don't know how the blessings going to come at times, but the blessing will come. And I'm going to stay strong. And however God sends it, he don't intend for you to act stupid for Jesus. I heard there was a pastor one time had a drug dealer come to the church and leave on the altar exactly what the church needed. He said, that ain't the blessing of God. We ain't going to use that old dirty money.
Okay.
Take it home. Take it home.
No.
Put it in the washing machine and wash it and bring it on back to the church. They'll be clean now. We can.
You know what, Apostle? This is why when the scripture says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, we're too busy trying to say how God's going to bless. And we fail to realize who God will bless. That drug dealer had a heart to be a blessing to the church. And that simple-minded pastor, God bless him, wherever he might be, looked a gift horse in the mouth and smacked it right in the teeth. I found that drug dealer, I go pick my money up. Huh. Y'all gonna figure some other kind of way to get yours.
Now, after all this great moderation, from this man, God showed up. God showed up. Now, I need to throw something at this. Watch this now. Now, Blake, tell me this. Because everybody always want to act excited when you say God showed up. Does God show up every time for a dance and a run around the church?
No.
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 Mm-mm.
He don't even show up. No.
Mm-mm. He show up for authenticity. He want to make sure that the people are really praising him in spirit and in truth. You know, he want to make sure that what y'all asking for, y'all ready to receive. He comes when we ask him in, when we invite him in. But you got to have your heart got to be in the right position and your hands got to be clean. Because I, you know me, I tell somebody quickly, lift your dirty hands, you dirty demon. I got to go to bed. I'm not going to fool with y'all tonight. I'm going to bed.
No, you're not.
Well,
yes, I am. I got to go to bed. Oh, Lord Jesus, my head, Father. Come on. But y'all need to lift y'all dirty hands anyway.
Oh, here we go. What we do this time?
Wait a minute.
My hands
are clean. I stayed all day. People, all y'all need hand sanitizer that does not contain alcohol.
Well, my sister, we bless God for you tonight. We thank God for your input and all the things that you brought out before us. If you must go tonight, we got to release you and make the right. Leave us, Lucille. Hallelujah. With 300 children and a cap on the hill. But you go ahead now.
Who's going to have 300 children? Say what?
No. If you're going to play the lottery, remember, bless the man, the command of God. Yep.
Let her go, because she's hearing funny now.
Well, if you got to go and you play the lottery, bless the mind of God. No, you got to bless the African bishop from Cuba. He got to get something.
With all them emails he be sending me at my spam box, he already got it.
I ain't touching that. That's for another show. Stop it. Now, if you got to go,
this.
Really. Go ahead.
Now, watch this. We're about to get off the air.
Oh, we are?
Jesus shows up and calls him a fool. How insulting is that? God shows up and calls you a fool.
Can we put it in our language today? I would simply say Jesus or the Lord said something to this effect. What are you, some kind of stupid? Okay, that's all I want to say. That's so, Ernest 1:1. Y'all can go ahead.
So somebody please tell me about God showing up in your moment of arrogance. Tell people how dangerous that is for God to show up in your moment of arrogance.
Well, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he will exalt you in due time. But if you exalt yourself, he will make you abased. In other words, he'll bring you down to the bottom. Nothing is worse than when God brings you down. Because if people bring you down, you know, they might make you feel some kind of way, but it may not be recognized by everybody. God brings you down, everybody going to know it. Everybody going to see it. You will be more than embarrassed. You will be shamed.
Amen.
Amen. About one word. What on earth is required? Peter, your soul is required of me. What is a requirement? What is it to be required?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody sleep? Hello?
No.
Heart,
soul, and mind is required.
Amen. You are going to get your wings. And
the total commitment.
And I hope that you know him when your soul is required. Yeah.
I would say your heart, mind, and soul is required. And if you give that willingly and God accepts it graciously, it becomes a benefit to you spiritually. That's all. You still there?
You have anything on that, Brett? Are you received?
No, that was good. That was good. That's it.
All right. All right. So y'all heard the definition. God called the man a fool, told him you're required. And your soul is required of who? He says, of me. Tonight, let's talk to somebody that think they can keep shucking and jiving and telling somebody, you know, telling folks, I'm coming. Let's talk to somebody tonight and ask them, and then we're going to have prayer for salvation. But let's all tell people how dangerous it is to keep putting God off. Keep saying another time, another day. How dangerous is that? Nobody wants to talk.
My. Come on, y'all.
I need you to repeat the question one more time. I want to make sure I heard it right.
Are you there, Apostle?
I could barely hear Whitlow. What did he say?
I said,
go ahead, Whitlow.
I need you to repeat the question so I can make sure I heard it right.
Okay. It really wasn't a question. I said, let's talk to somebody now and tell them how dangerous it is waiting till the end, thinking they're going to have a chance to get it together before they go.
Oh, man. Well, first of all, you don't know how much time you're going to have, so you don't know if you're going to have the right frame of mind or the book. Those are two things that we do not understand, whether we will, have the right frame of mind, or two, the breath. Because when your time is coming to an end, you think you're going to wait till the last moment, you're not certain that you're going to make that last moment. Because when you start fading, your thought process starts fading away. So you're not able to think like you want to think. Then your breath starts fading. So if you try to speak too much, you might cause it to happen faster. So you can't wait till the last minute. You've got to do it while there is time and now, while you have life, while you have health, while you have strength, while you have this opportunity. Because at the end of the day, the next moment is not promised. Only what we know of at this very moment is promised, and that doesn't have to last long. So you don't want to wait till the last moment.
Richard? Richard? Did his car drop off? All right, Flight, tell us your part. And what you want to let people know about being a last-minute waiter. And I'm going to move
well,
to
I
want to
give that question. You didn't say my name.
No, I didn't say your name.
I want to.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I'm trying to figure out why is my phone going in and out.
Well, you waited too late. I need to answer this question. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I want to concur with what Apostle Urban Whitlow said, because I have heard so many people, I want to get it all out while I'm young, and then I come to the Lord.
and some of them didn't make it. So, and for instance, another thing, I was planning on going to Atlanta this weekend, but God had it where, no, you're not. You went to Mississippi to meet with your mom because my brother, well, her brother passed. So it tells us that we don't know nothing about tomorrow. I've been planning this trip to Atlanta since September. So my plans are laughter to God. And so with that being said, I don't know what tomorrow holds. I'm going moment to moment to moment, second by second. That's why that song, I need thee every hour, every second, every minute, every count of second, every mini second, because I don't know what I'm going to be facing.
You know what, y'all? That's a new version of that song. I didn't hear all the pieces.
What's that?
All the pieces you just said in that song, I missed some of it.
Really? Now my phone sometimes acts up, and so I'm in a better location now.
Every count. Now, I don't know, maybe you ain't never read that hymn before, but I have to go back and find that counter second, millisecond, all that. And boy, she got a different version tonight. Kim, I'm just messing with you. Hallelujah. All right. Is Mike still with us or is she gone?
I'm here. I'm right here. So if the Bible tells us that no man knoweth the day nor the hour when the Son of Man shall return, then you're going to wait till your final hour instead of getting it right. You know, the Bible tells us that what mercies are renewed every morning. So you ought to repent daily. Is that not what the word says? And I'm just paraphrasing. But does the word not say that we are to repent daily? That we are to try to get it together daily? So if that being the case, I don't want to wait. As a matter of fact, no, that's not even in my vocabulary to just wait until something happened. I can't even fathom that happening. I'm not going to praise God. You know, because I'm having a bad day, I'm not feeling good. No, I'm gonna praise him for the days that I was feeling good, for the times that he's done it. You know, he's like an encore guy. If he did it before, he's gonna do it again. He shows up. He does exactly what we need him to do on his timing when his timing is correct. So, the song that says we ain't got to wait till the battle is over. We can shout red now, because y'all know people died. They never died before. So we got to get it right. We got to get it together. People are dying that ain't never died before. I'm telling y'all. So I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to wait to get my mama flowers or her casket. I'm going to tell my mama how much I love her every day. That's my baby. That's my mama by my own self. I don't have... Well, I got siblings, but I don't like them.
Let's pray for her now, yo. Just pray for her now.
Oh,
my own child.
I
just put some sanitizer on them.
I'm going to have a special prayer before we get off tonight, Lord Jesus. All right, who
I ain't giving it to nobody.
Who did not jump? Go ahead and talk, because we're going to get ready to get out there.
I'm going to say this. You know what? Anyway, I'm going to say this. And I referred to it a week or so ago, the last time we picked up on this. And I'm going to stick to the five wise, five foolish virgins. That same story, the principle actually coincides with this. When God is included in your plans, you'll be thoroughly, completely, undeniably prepared, ready to step out and let the blessing of the Lord, which makes you rich and adds no sorrow, flourish to the place and point that everybody in your stratosphere can receive of that blessing and those whom God chooses. But like the five foolish, when God is not in your plans, let's see who's going to have the final say. The marriage supper is coming up. Whoever's listening, will you be ready when Jesus comes? That's all I'm going to say.
All right, Pastor Whitlow, give us final prayer and pray for those who are not in the body of Christ, that they will come to know Jesus and his sacrifice and his love.
Yes, sir. Precious Father, once again, we come to you thanking you for this time you've allowed us to share together in your word. Thank you for the laughter, but thank you for the revelations, oh God, that has come from the mouths of these, your sons and daughters. We lift our hands to you and we praise you and we give you glory and honor. We pray for those now, Lord, who do not know you, those who have been listening, oh God. I pray that this would be the night that their life would be changed forever, that, Father, their heart would pursue you. They would gravitate, oh Lord, that they would make you their heart and faith in the name of Jesus, that they will not seek to wait to their very last moment, oh God, to cry out to you, but they will take this opportunity, oh Lord, to repent of their sins, acknowledging that they need a Savior. They would believe in their heart that you, oh God, are the one who raised your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, and certainly that they would confess with their mouth that you are Lord. We thank you for doing this. We believe that it's already done, and therefore we give you glory and we magnify you. Now continue to watch over us, those who shall go to sleep, those who shall go to work. Watch over us and keep us, O Lord. Refresh us and strengthen us. Get your glory. In the matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
And as we always say at the end of our show, if you're catching hell, don't hold it. If you're going through hell, sure, don't stop. But go ahead. Go ahead. I say go ahead. God got better things in store for you. The Lord bless you and keep you in our prayer. We say shalom, shalom, and good night.
Night.
Give it, Kim. Drop it. Drop it because it's hot.